Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Américas First Quarter 2024 Results Conference Call. My name is Gigi, and I'll be your operator for today. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one one on your telephone. You will then hear an automated message advising your hand is raised. To withdraw your question, please press star one one again. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. This presentation contains statements that could constitute forward-looking statements. These statements appear in a number of places in this presentation and include statements regarding the intent, belief, or current expectations of Enel Américas and its management with respect to, among other things, Enel Américas business plans, Enel Américas cost reduction plans, and trends affecting Enel Américas financial condition or results of operations, including market trends in the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere, supervision and regulation of the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere, and the future effect of any changes in the laws and regulations applicable to Enel Américas or its subsidiaries. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guarantees of future performance, and involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors include a decline in the equity capital markets, an increase in the market rates of interest in the United States or elsewhere, adverse decisions by government regulators in Chile or elsewhere, and other factors described in Enel Américas' integrated annual report. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on those forward-looking statements, which state only as of their dates. Enel Américas undertakes no obligation to release publicly the results of any revisions to these forward-looking statements except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Jorge Velis, Enel Américas Head of Investor Relations. Please proceed.
Thank you, Gigi. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our First Quarter 2024 Results Presentation. I'm Jorge Velis, the new Head of IR of Enel Américas, taking this position as our former Head of IR, Rafael de la Haza, has taken the CFO role for Enel Américas as of April 1st. In the coming slides, our CEO, Aurelio Bustilho, and our CFO, Rafael de la Haza, will be presenting the main figures of this period. Let me remind you that this presentation will follow the slides that have already been uploaded in the company's website. Following the presentation, we will have the Q&A session. If you want to make a question, please send it through the webcast or write us to our corporate email, ir.enelamericas@enel.com. Now, let me hand over the call to Aurelio, who will start by outlining the main highlights of the period.
Thank you, Jorge. Let me begin this presentation by highlighting our commitment with our operations in Brazil. As you know, in the last few months, we have suffered some extreme weather events and extraordinary situations out of our control that have affected our services. In the last days, we have announced a solid investment plan that aims to solve the situation. We will see more details of this in the next slide. Moving to this quarter results, EBITDA reached $1.1 billion in this quarter, which represents an increase of 14% compared to the first quarter of 2023. This improvement is mainly explained by Colombia and to a better result in Argentina, which moved from a negative EBITDA in 2023 to a positive one during this quarter. We also had a positive FX effect this quarter due to the appreciation of the Brazilian real and the Colombian peso. We were able to reduce our cost of debt in about 120 basis points, reaching an average cost of 11%. This is mainly explained by lower interest rates in Brazil and Colombia, and also by lower debts in Brazil as part of our liability management strategy. Finally, group net income reached $0.4 billion this first quarter, an increase of 17% compared to the same period last year, mainly explained by better EBITDA and an improvement in Peruvian operations, which, as you know, are considered below EBITDA. Regarding our Peruvian operations, let me highlight that all the figures in this presentation are excluding Peruvian assets unless we indicate the opposite. Now, in the coming slide, I will show the details of our investment plans in grids business in Brazil. Recently, we announced our investment plans for Enel São Paulo and Enel Ceará, which add up to a total of 11 billion reais to be deployed in the 2024-2026 period. This implies investments of around 2 billion Brazilian reais and 1.6 billion reais per year in São Paulo and in Ceará, respectively, which represents an increase of over 40% compared to the average of previous years. We are increasing our base of internal employees by 1,200 and 1,750 in each company respectively, aiming at improving and accelerate our response to any request of our customers. The main initiatives of our plans include, among other things, focus on preventive maintenance, increase in preventing planning, modernization of network, expansion of communication channels and customer service. With these two announced plans, along with our CAPEX commitment in our other operations, we total 11 billion Brazilian reais for 2024 and 2026 period, reinforcing our commitment with our operations in Brazil. Despite most of energy cuts that we have faced in the last few months were due to extreme weather events and extraordinary situations out of our control. We want to be part of the solution and are early putting our best effort in order to leave behind the service problems suffered by our customers. Let's analyze our investment during this period. During the first quarter of this year, our CapEx decreased by 4%, reaching $556 million. As we announced in our strategic plan, we are looking to be more selective in our investment, especially renewable projects. 78% of total investments were allocated into Brazil, where, as mentioned, we are reinforcing our commitment with improving service quality and preventive maintenance. By business line, 55% was invested in grids and 43% in generation. Asset development CAPEX matched $282 million with 77% devoted to renewables. Let's now analyze our operating highlights on slide number 6. In generation, our installed capacity reached 12.2 gigawatts, adding close to 200 megawatts during the first quarter of 2024. All in, 98% of our capacity is renewable. Net production in the first quarter reached 8.7 terawatt hour, a decrease of 3%, mainly explained by a decrease in Colombia due to lower hydro resource and to a lesser extent Brazil, due to a lower wind speeds, disponibility, partially offset by higher hydro production in El Chocón and Panama. From our total production, 97% is emission-free, reflecting our commitment towards decarbonization in the countries we operate in. Energy sales increased by 26%, reaching 18.6 terawatt hours, mainly due to higher sales in Brazil, especially in Enel trading, partially offset by lower sales in Colombia due to the unfavorable hydro conditions we have faced in the country. On slide 7, we'll focus on development of renewable capacity. During the first quarter, we built 200 megawatts of new renewable capacity located in Brazil and Colombia. And our investments in new projects amounted to $0.2 billion. We are currently building an additional 1.1 gigawatts of capacity located in Brazil and Colombia. As you can see on the right side, we are working on two projects in Brazil, Arinos and Pedra Pintada, and two in Colombia, Guayepo, Guayepo 2 and Guayepo 3. Pedra Pintada is a wind farm of 194 megawatts, and the other three are solar plants, totalizing more than 900 megawatts. And most of this new capacity will be built, will be entering operations in 2024. Let's continue with grid operational highlights on slide 8. Electricity distributed reached 27.3 terawatt hours in the first quarter, which represents an increase of 4%, explained by higher sales in Brazil and Colombia. Regarding number of customers, we had an increase of around 420,000 in the last 12 months, reaching 22.3 million customers. Smart meters increased around 2.3 times, reaching 824,000 in this period, mainly due to the deployment in São Paulo. Our net RAB has increased by 15% in the last 12 months, reflecting the significant investment that we have done in our grids. The ratio net RAB per customer also reflects an important growth of 13%. In terms of quality indicators, we can see that in general terms we have struggled against difficult weather conditions that affected our metrics. We are working hard in order to have a more resilient grid system, and as already mentioned in the last days, we have reinforced our investment commitments in Brazil and have defined a set of actions to improve quality. In addition to this, in Colombia, the regulator changed the criteria used to calculate these indicators, which implied an increase in both SAIDI and SAIFI. Now, Rafael will comment on the financial results in the coming slides. Please, Rafael.
Thank you, Jorge. Thank you, Aurelio. First of all, let me remind you that all the numbers that I'm going to mention here are in U.S. dollars, are expressed in U.S. dollars. EBITDA in the first quarter reached $1,077 million, an increase of 14%, mainly explained by better results in Argentina and Colombia, in grids, both, due to tariff adjustments, and positive effect in Colombia and Brazil due to currency appreciation. If we exclude from 2023 the results of solar assets, Costanera, Dock Sud, Enel 100, and Cartagena, and also exclude effects impact in this period, we get to an adjusted EBITDA of $1,010 million, 11% higher than last year. Net financial result was a net expense of 181 million, which is slightly lower than last year. This is mainly explained by higher impact of hyperinflation in Argentina, partially offset by lower financial income in Brazil, due to lower cash position. Group net income in the first quarter reached $359 million, an increase of 16.8%. This is mainly explained by higher EBITDA and better results in our Peruvian assets, already considered as discontinued operations. In terms of net debt, we see an increase of 2.9% compared to December 2023. We will analyze in detail our debt later on. Finally, let me highlight that our shareholders meeting held on Tuesday approved a final dividend payment of $142 million, which will be paid on May 30, 2024, and with the interim dividend of $170 million paid in January 2024, adds to a total dividend for 2023 of $259 million for this period. On slide 11, we will see EBITDA evolution and breakdown. Starting from $945 million of EBITDA in the first quarter of 2023, we have to exclude $35 million coming from sole assets, reaching $910 million in homogeneous perimeter. Then we see that generation decreased, mainly explained by Colombia, while grids had a significant improvement due to better results in Argentina and Colombia. Customers improved mainly in Colombia, and others decreased mainly due to higher expenses in Argentina due to, as you probably know, the inflation effect that we saw in the previous months. With this, we get to an EBITDA of $1,010 million, which is 11% higher than last year, considering the same perimeter. FX had a positive impact of $78 million, resulting in a reported EBITDA for this quarter of $1,077 million, as I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation. From our reported EBITDA, 59% came from Brazil, 36% from Colombia, and 5% from Central America. In terms of business line, grids represents 53% of our total EBITDA, generation 35%, and customers contribute with 11%. On slide number 12, we will have a focus on the cash flow of our company. Starting from an EBITDA of $1,077 million, we see that net working capital amounted to $281 million, mainly explained by higher accounts payable related to energy purchases in Colombia and Central America, but substantially mainly in Colombia, along with capital recycling effect in Colombia, partially compensated by lower investment payments in generation in Brazil. Taxes paid during the period, you see the relevant difference compared with the same period of the previous year, amounted to $185 million. This is a significant increase compared to last year, and the explanation here is that in the previous year we completed the merger between Enel Colombia and Enel Green Power, our renewables activities within Enel Green Power, so the taxable base is higher to the one that we saw in the previous year. With this, the taxes paid during this period amounts to $185 million. Net financial expenses amounted to $170 million, higher than first quarter 2023, due to higher financial expenses in Colombia and at Enel Americas standalone, Enel Americas holding, due to higher debt and lower financial income in Brazil, related to lower cash position explained by the sale of Enel Goiás at the end of 2022 and CIEN in March 2023. So, just to be clear, we are not increasing the level of net financial expenses paid. This is a temporary effect due to the not remunerated cash that we saw in the previous period in 2023 due to the sale of, as I mentioned before, Enel Goiás and CIEN in March 2023. With this, funds from operations amounted to 441 million, a decrease of 111 million compared to the same period of last year. After investments for 556 million, including 282 million of growth capex, we get to a free cash flow of 116 million US dollars. Now let me analyze the debt of our company in the following slide. Gross debt amounted to 8.4 billion, an increase of 3% compared to December 2023, mainly explained, as I anticipated before, by higher debt at Enel Americas standalone, Enel Americas holding, related to dividend payments and a capital injection to Brazil, which allowed us to avoid new debt in that country that, as you know, is very expensive, still very expensive. Net debt reached 6.7 billion, an increase of 3% compared to the end of 2023. This includes free cash flow for minus 0.1 billion, net dividends paid for minus 0.1 billion, and extraordinary operations also for minus 0.1, mainly related to the partial amortization of the Enel Sao Paulo's pension fund. As you know, this is not a financial passive, it's an operational passive, but we concluded recently a partial amortization of this passive that is registered in our balance sheet. FX impacted in our balance in 0.1 billion US dollars, positive 0.1 billion, due to the revaluation of the local currencies in Colombia and Brazil. In terms of currency and country, we see that Brazil remains as the largest contributor, while the debt at holding level represents around 20% of the total. This is a temporary effect while we finalize the sale of our Peruvian assets, which will result in a relevant cash-in for the company, around 3.8 billion US dollars net of taxes. Finally, regarding the cost of debt, we can see a decrease for this period going from 12.2% to 11%, mainly explained by lower debt in Brazil. The stock of the debt in Brazil is lower when compared to the same period of the previous year due to the liability management actions that we mentioned before, and lower interest rates in Brazil and Colombia. With this, I finalize the financial part of this presentation, and on the next slide, Aurelio will conclude this presentation with some closing remarks. Aurelio, please proceed.
By implementing Aurelio. A clear and strong Yes? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes. Now yeah. We can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. We are reinforcing our commitment in Brazil by implementing a clear and strong investment plan in Greece aimed at improving our quality. This is our priority. We have a solid operational result and maintaining a sound financial position, which allows us to execute our CapEx plan. Regarding our corporate simplification process, we have the authorization of Peruvian authorities and are facing the final steps of selling process in Peru. Finally, let me highlight that we had our shareholders meeting on Tuesday, and among other things, we have elected our new board directors and approved a final dividend payment of 142 million US dollars to be paid on May the 30th, totalizing a total payment of 259 million dollars for 2023 period. Please, Jorge.
Thank you, Aurelio. Thank you, Rafael. Now we will begin the Q&A session, and the first question comes from Fernán González from BTG. Two questions regarding Brazil. First, local authorities in Sao Paulo have been advocating to terminate Enel Sao Paulo concession due to an alleged quality of service issue and insufficient investments. You have mentioned before that these were force majeure events due to weather, peak demand, and strong winds damaging infrastructure that led to the blackouts. What are the chances that politicians succeed in early termination of your concession? And the second question regarding Brazil is, the decree containing the terms of the renewal of the concessions in Brazil will soon be revealed according to the Energy Ministry. The minister has flagged that he is considering excluding discos that have an ongoing concession revocation process from participating in the renewal. And he's even analyzing to prevent companies within the same economic group from seeking contract renewal if one of them is undergoing a revocation process. What are your thoughts on these measures potentially being included in the terms? Please, Aurelio.
Thank you. Thank you, Jorge. Thank you, Fernando. Let me tell you that this is a technical process. And technically, if you see the indicator, there's absolutely no risk of technical, not that technically, that Enel São Paulo is accomplishing all KPIs, all the quality KPIs, all indicators, and it's not a discretionary process. This is a technical process, and Enel São Paulo is meeting all the requirements, all the indicators to renew. So these allegations or this political interference or speech, it doesn't make sense. We are confident that the concession will be renewed. We'll have the, of course, the, as you all know, the decree, it's not be issued or it's not public yet, but we are confident that the technical aspect that and the institutionality and that this process is embedded and it will be respected. So this concession of Enel São Paulo, we have no doubt that it will be renewed, and we, as was declared, we soon know the details of the conditions. But we are confident that it will be renewed. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Aurelio. And next question is about Argentina. What are your plans for Edesur? There's been some news suggesting that you are no longer planning to sell the asset. Is there any truth to this? What about El Chocón? Will you seek to renew the concession?
Well, for Argentina, we declare, we started this process in the previous year, but we stopped the process since we are seeing and following improvement in terms of the expectations of the country. So for now we stopped this process and following the progresses, the political and economic progress that we are seeing in this country, to reanalyze this process. I'm talking about the distribution, the Suri asset. And for now we are maintaining the distribution. Let's see the evolution of this of all these improvements in terms of economic and regulatory conditions. Regarding Chocón, Chocón is a hydro plant. The concession, the concession finalized, no, last year, but we've been attending to a request from the current government to operate this asset until they prepare or define a new auction to let's say to renew this concession to another operator. Of course, we are totally available to support the government in this process. We are operating this asset. This new renewable small period, no, for the plant, it cannot be more than 1 year, which means that in August 2024 it should be redefined. Our approach on this is to support the government in any needs they need in order to not to maintain the operation and to maintain the asset in a good quality, serving the Argentinian population, the country, you know, and let's see, it's not defined. It depends on the government, and since we have a new clear situation, we will analyze. But for now, we are totally available and operating the asset in order for the government to prepare the next, let's say, the next phase of Chocón.
Thank you, Aurelio. Next question is for our CFO. Your leverage is low, CapEx mostly funded, and you are still distributing the legal minimum 30% in dividends. Could we expect an extraordinary dividend after you receive the cash from the sale of Peruvian assets, or perhaps launch a share buyback?
Well, thank you, Jorge. As you probably know, yes, the situation in terms of net debt to EBITDA is close to 1.7 times without including the pension fund in Sao Paulo. So we are comfortable with this situation. We have a very strict discipline in terms of financial terms, and we expect to continue in this path. The company is not contemplating an increase in terms of dividend payout, at least for 2024, and not a distribution of an extraordinary dividend. Let me remind you that the distribution operations or the distribution processes and generation process in Peru will be concluded. This will entail a registration of a relevant capital gain in our balance sheet. So there will be an implicit, let me say, extraordinary dividend due to the base of the amount to be distributed in this period, no, in 2024. So we are not considering an additional extraordinary dividend because already the group net income for this year will be irrelevant due to these capital gains to be registered in our balance sheet, once the operations will be concluded. In relation to a potential share buyback, etc., this is something any decision has been taken, so this is not the moment to speak about this potential operation, because this is something that has not been considered. The focus of the company at this moment is, as we mentioned before, is to use the cash proceeds to be obtained from the sales of generation and distribution assets in Peru for liability management, substantially in Brazil. As you know, the cost of the debt in Brazil is really expensive for our company, and not only for our company, for all the companies operating there. So the situation or the target, the strategy of the companies is to the company of Enel Americas is to reduce the most expensive debt that we have in that country, and to avoid new debt to finance the new CapEx, because as you know, we continue with new projects there, as Aurelio mentioned before. So part of this amount coming from Peru will be devoted to this, no? To reduce the most expensive debt in that country, and also in Colombia, but substantially in Brazil, and to avoid the new debt to finance the new CapEx. So that's it. If about the potential buyback, is not the moment, because any decision has been taken, I repeat. And regarding a potential extraordinary dividend, the answer is no, we are not considering an extraordinary dividend. We are not considering an increase in terms of dividend payout for this period. Thank you, Jorge.
Thank you, Rafa. Next two questions from Francisco Paz from Santander. The first one, the company's divestment process has made progress during 2023-2024 and also undergone some changes in different contexts. For example, Enel Ceará and Argentina distribution assets are no longer being sold, as a result of which the plan is almost complete. Given this, what should be the next step in Enel America's strategy? Aurelio, please.
Yeah, thank you, Jorge. Thank you, Francisco. Well, yeah, this is a very dynamic process, no? In Ceará, we analyzed that it was not feasible to advance in this project having a renewal of concessions discussion in the middle. So, we are seeing some improvement, some better conditions. So, and the same for Argentina. So, which makes sense to stop this project for us during this period. Priority in the short term, of course, we have a huge transaction that we are moving from this selling assets in Peru. We need to complete this this process. We are closing in a very short time frame. So, but we need to finish. We need to conclude this, and as Rafa was explaining, to use these funds to reduce and to improve our financial condition with our debts, and also with this movement, support our priority right now, that is totally focused to improve quality of our distribution assets, mainly in Brazil. Yeah, so our focus, we need to improve. It's not only CapEx, it is also OpEx. I mean, there are also activities that we were explaining to attend the customers in a proper way, to improve our call centers. There are lots of operational activities, but it should be done, and it costs. So our focus right now is to support this operation and assure, of course, these conditions in the concession renewal. We want to renew our concession. We want to keep on operating and keep on improving the quality of attendance to our customers, having them in the center of our business. So this is especially the priorities. Let's see what comes in the following years. We are seeing, if you see the generation business, we are seeing that the hydrological conditions can bring another possibility in terms of pricing. We are seeing some possibilities in, of course, to reduce the cost of capital, so we can activate some projects in the future, renewable projects. But let's see; it's not in our plan, but the main direction should move to this way. But for now, as I repeat, that is to rebalance this financial position in order to support this priority, which means that to improve the quality of our distribution asset. And improving this situation, improving these elements, pricing, cost of capital, all the efforts that we are doing improving our financial position, we can see better and other alternatives for the coming years. The main thing here is that, as Rafa was explaining, we are improving our financial position. We have a sound financial position, different to other competitors. Especially in a period that we have higher interest rates and so on. So we are entering in this phase in a very good shape in order to meet our and having our strategic options for the coming years.
Thank you, Aurelio. And the second question from Francisco Paz regarding Colombia. Given the water crisis that Colombia has experienced in recent months, which reached its peak in the first weeks of April, what should we expect to be the impact on the company's results in the Colombian operations in the next quarter?
Yeah, referring to the spot prices or related to changes in regulatory changes.
It's regarding the situation of drought in Colombia. A potential situation of drought in Colombia for the second quarter of this year. If we expect any potential impact in terms of results for our activities in the country, no?
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah, that's the point. But if you want, I can start, Aurelio, by underlining that of course in Colombia. Yeah, thank you. The situation in Colombia has improved during the last 2 weeks. As you know, the level of the reservoirs in the country are around 33%, which is a little bit better than the situation that we saw 1 month or a couple of weeks ago. The situation was around with the reservoirs around 25-27%. So the situation is a little bit better. We hope the situation in terms of rains improve in the second quarter, particularly in May. But let's see what happens. Of course, for us, the situation in terms of prices could impact in our activities, in our generation activities in Colombia, because the spot prices would increase in that case. And of course, the reservoirs of our assets in Colombia, hydro assets in Colombia, is still low. Let's see what happens. We hope the situation improves, particularly, I repeat, during this month. But of course, we think that the government and the authorities are analyzing very close this situation, and it seems that the situation improves as most of us are awaiting. We will not see a rationalization measures announced some weeks ago. So we are very confident with a potential new situation, a better situation in terms of rains in the country, but we cannot anticipate any impact in terms of results in our activities there.
Thank you, Rafa.
Yeah, I agree with Rafa, if I may. Yeah, it's very important because this phenomenon El Niño, La Niña, there is a, of course, we see some improvements, but the situation of reservoir in Colombia it's so bad. I mean, with the dry season, no, that needs more to solve this situation and to increase the reservoir. So we are prepared, but as Rafa said, it's too early to see that this beginning of April will change completely in this situation. I think it's too early to see, but commercially and especially the location that we have our plants, we are confident that we are well prepared to any situation.
Thank you, Aurelio. Next question comes from Jordi Lozano from Calpa in Peru, and it's regarding the sale of Enel Distribución Peru. Peruvian antitrust regulator already approved the deal. In this sense, in how much time do you expect the deal to be closed?
We expected that the main issues, in the copper authorization was as you said, was done. We are expecting especially the authorization from the Chinese antitrust regulator. We are on time consider our schedule. So we expect in the first half, as we said, in the first half of this year, we will have this deal completed. I don't think we have any major issues to complete this operation, this deal. So we expect to give you more information as soon as we have during this process. But everything is under the timeline that we established in the beginning.
Thank you, Aurelio. And we have a final question coming from Sebastián Gallego. What is your plan for the remaining two wind projects in Colombia following the impairment of Wimpeche? And a second question, following El Niño in Colombia, should we expect the divestment of the remaining thermal plant in Colombia?
Thank you for the question, Felipe. We maintain there's no new issues regarding our plane. We are trying to find another solution for this, especially for the wind project that we have in Colombia. As you know, we have some. It's not only for us, but in general in Colombia, the permitting process is delaying substantially in terms of timing. So we expect the government to be more proactive on this or to accelerate this process. Of course, all together with communities and so on, but having the leadership of the government. So we expect that improving this project probably. Who knows? We have a very good pipeline of projects. We can reactivate more projects. Until now, there's no new plan, but we are waiting for acceleration in terms of permitting. That's affecting the new projects. I repeat, not only for us, but for all projects in Colombia, and all this very good position and capability that Colombia has in terms of renewable. This is something that Colombia should take more advantage to this, and also important for the country, important for the population, important for the community. So, again, we are not do crazy things in terms of do projects that or try to invest to do any additional project when you see that the conditions of permitting is not a. It's not reliable, and mainly reliable is not the word, but some effective approvals to move forward with this project. In terms of thermal plants, we still follow this decarbonization process. This is a long-term view. This is a medium-term view. This is not something opportunistic. We still believe that renewable is the way. Is the best way that we can contribute for the climate change, for the electrification of countries in our region, not only in our region but worldwide. So we follow the plan of decarbonization. There's no new regarding this. Of course, we are proactive and pragmatic in terms of this project and doing it in a proper way and in a fair way. So we maintain our focus in decarbonization. We maintain our focus in renewable, as we've been announced during these years. Thank you.
Thank you, Aurelio. Well, as there are no more questions, we conclude the results conference call. Let me remind you that the investor relations team is available for any doubt that you may have. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect. Okay.